J1.
Number 3B.
Now, another argument which comes from the church, and one must just know these fundamentals, sometimes it's getting into the very meat of the subject for the newcomer here, but I just must say this. Another argument from the church is that the synonymous terms are freely interchangeable. They say, look, that those synonymous terms can be freely interchangeable. Now, we saw actually last week that Mrs. Eddy answers this argument herself when she says that those seven synonymous terms for God are synonymous. And last week we saw, when we went over the meaning of synonymous, that we saw that synonymous meant that words within certain limits may be used interchangeably, but also while outside of these limits they may differ greatly in meaning and use. And we saw that those synonymous terms could be interchanged only when they refer to the one God, like God is mind, or God is spirit, or God is soul. But we saw that they differ greatly when each of these terms are used to depict a unique nature of God, such as mind depicts God or the reality. Mind is a super symbol or depicts that in reality there is creative intelligence, power, law. Spirit is that super symbol which depicts true substance, order, purity, birth. Or soul is that super symbol which depicts identity. That each one of those terms, then the terms cannot be used interchangeably, because each one stands for a unique office of God or a unique office in the nature of God, and they cannot be used interchangeably. Now, just to, again, I want to say another argument here in its relation to this use of freely interchanging the synonymous terms. And this comes up because from a certain point of view, when we're in the study, it comes up. Now, again, they'll say you can't interchange them on this basis, because in the text, Mrs. Eddy will say that there is the power of mind. She'll talk about the power of spirit. She'll talk about the power of soul. She'll talk about the power of life. She'll talk about the power of truth and the power of love. And they'll say, and you, Dorley students, say that power is intrinsic to mind. What we must see here is that Mrs. Eddy already is using the blending of ideas. And she is showing that an idea does not stand alone, and that each idea must blend with all the other synonymous terms. So therefore, she actually, in her writings, will combine an idea of a term with another term in order to bring out a certain truth. And when she says, like, the power of mind, she means something entirely different than when she speaks of the power of spirit. That this is a blending of mind, the power of mind, the idea of mind. When she says the power of spirit, it's taking the idea of mind power and blending it with spirit in order to bring out a certain point that she wants to say. Now, this is something that we must wait in our study to go into here, because it wouldn't mean much to us if I went into this in great detail. I just want to point it up. It's only after we study the synonymous terms and get a warm feeling of which all the ideas of the synonymous term can we fully appreciate Mrs. Eddy's combination of ideas, or the same idea with all the seven synonymous terms, in order to bring out a different truth. So this is something which we must wait and we will do together in class when we get working with the synonymous terms. Now, there's one more argument I'd like to bring up from the church. And we must see that, especially about today, and we must see that today the Christian Science Church organization still maintains its religious interpretation of Christian Science. And it still sends out the same arguments about the study of the science of Christian Science. And I would like to read an excerpt from a letter which was sent out by the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston, Massachusetts. And this came from the Department of Branches and Practitioners. And the date of this letter is March 15, 1971. And just in part, I'd like to read. The letter says, "Dear Practitioner, inquiries have come in about lecture seminars to be given in New York the latter part of March by Dr. Max Kappeler of Zurich, Switzerland. These seminars are advertised to be on Christian Science, and a word about them may be helpful to you. Dr. Kappeler, who has not been a member of the Mother Church for many years, presents a personal view of Christian Science, which is based on the views of John W. Dorley, who himself left the Mother Church 25 years ago. This teaching involves a numerological symbolism, an opposition to church organization, and study of the writings of these two individuals and their followers as a further revelation of truth. First, this letter is concerning Dr. Max Kappeler. Now, that name might be new to some of you here, and I'd just like to briefly explain or go over who he is. As many of you know, Dr. Kappeler was born and educated in Switzerland, and upon his graduation from the university in 1938, he became interested in the work of John Dorley, and he very soon joined Dorley's research group in England. And it's been actually since this time that Dr. Kappeler has devoted his life to the study of the pure science of Christian Science, and he has been a great pioneer in the development of this idea. Now, this letter from the First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston makes statements about Dr. Kappeler and John Dorley which are totally inaccurate. And we must see that they are inaccurate, and that's what they are. It says here, one, Dr. Kappeler. In quotation, it says, Dr. Kappeler presents a personal view of Christian Science, which is based on the views of John W. Dorley. Now, if anyone is at all aware of the scientific method of investigation, then it is understood that in scientific research, no personal views enter in. They cannot enter in. It's the nature of science that, as we saw, science is knowledge reduced to law and embodied in a system. And that is the beauty of science. The beauty of science is that we work with rules, laws, order, rules, systems, and that these are laws, orders, rules, and systems which are inherent in reality itself. Therefore, all scientific work is free from personal views. It cannot enter in. Therefore, a statement made from this standpoint is an ignorant statement. It's an ignorant statement about the true nature of scientific investigation. Number two, to quote the letter again, it says, John W. Dorley, who himself left the Mother Church 25 years ago. This again is an inaccurate statement, because as we have seen, John Dorley did not leave the church. He was excommunicated because of his progressive teachings. Number three, this letter says that this teaching involves a numerological symbolism. Now, here again, this is inaccurate. We see that numerology is a belief that the number itself has a mystical force or a mystical power by itself. Therefore, the number itself, like the number seven, has a mystical power. It has a force inherent in itself. So the number seven is really mystical, and if you live in the house number seven, on the street number seven, you really are in power. You know, that's numerology. See, that's the number itself has real mystical vibration. Numerology. Now, in our study of science, seven is a symbol. We don't take it as having any mystical power, you know, so we all run to live on street seven and house seven and drive car number seven, you know. No. Number seven is a symbol. This has nothing, as I said, to do with numerology. Seven is a symbol for perfection, and this is a symbol that the Bible has used. It's come all the way down from those biblical writers. Seven is a symbol. In fact, symbolism and using numbers as symbols, I understand, goes all the way back to Pythagoras, and Pythagoras works with numbers and giving numbers certain symbolic connotations. Nothing to do with numerology or the belief in a mystical qualities of a number. Now, to the Bible, the number seven was a symbol, and it was a symbol for perfection, a symbol for the whole nature of God. Now, the Bible is full of the symbol seven. We can find in Revelation alone, St. John alone. I'd like to go over the seven in St. John. We have seven branch candlesticks, seven stars, seven churches, seven angels, seven trumpets. It talks of the seven plagues, the seven golden candlesticks, the seven spirits of God. It talks of the seven lambs, the seven seals, the seven horns, the seven eyes. In Revelation, it talks of the seven thunders, the seven heads, and the seven kings. This is all the use of seven just in Revelation. Now, this seven is a symbol of perfection or wholeness. And what we must see, that it's the idea behind a symbol that is important, not the symbol itself. Now, Mrs. Eddy herself said that spiritual teachings must always be by symbols. And she even herself called the 7 days of creation the numerals of infinity. In Science and Health, she says the numerals of infinity call the 7 days. Now, when she says the numerals of infinity, she's not talking about numerology. When she says the numeral of infinity, she called the 7 days of creation, she means the 7 days of creation, and the numerals of infinity are their infinite calculus of ideas. She's talking about the 7 days of creation and this infinite calculus of ideas. Now, this whole study of symbols is very interesting, and I thought tonight how I'd love to have gone into the study of symbols. It goes all the way back to the man itself. In fact, a friend recommended to me that I read a book by von Berlanffy entitled Robots, Men, and Mind. Now, this is a book which I just purchased and haven't actually thoroughly gotten into it. I've gotten into it, and it's really good. But this friend mentioned that in this book that Berlanffy brings out that it's actually man's reasoning with symbols that distinguished him from the animals, and that man, instead of being called Homo sapiens, should be called Homo symbolicus, meaning that it's man's reasoning with symbols that has enabled him to get to higher understanding. Now, we know, too, that the phonetic alphabet was formed from sounds, certain sounds when man first came on Earth. He went, all these different sounds were given symbols, and we went into the phonetic alphabet. Reasoning with symbols is as old, practically, as man himself. Therefore, this is a way we reason. It's the way all of education is being taught today, is through symbols. Now, what we see, therefore, it's the idea behind the symbol that is important and not the symbol itself. So seven just stands for an idea. Now, when we see that it's a symbol behind, it's the idea behind the symbol that is important, the symbols can change. We won't need that symbol. We don't hang on to that symbol and say, you know, I've got to have that symbol forever. Like the symbol God. We may not always use God. We can use the term principle and mean exactly the same thing. So we can let God go and use the term principle and still feel very secure without the symbol God. Now, this is true. Symbols will change. Now, in the Bible, we have the symbol light, and Mrs. Eddy gives it the symbol mind. Well, in the world today, we're getting the symbol of information. They're talking about an information universe. Now, that's information is another word for mind or light. Or we can say that in the Bible, the symbol is firmament, and Mrs. Eddy has given that symbol firmament a new, another definition or another symbol of spirit. And in the world today, they talk about negentropy, and we begin to see what negentropy is saying is exactly what the synonymous term spirit is saying, and it's exactly what the Bible is saying in the second day of creation was talking about. Or when the Bible talks about the dry land, Mrs. Eddy gives us the symbol of soul or identity, and the world talks about an identity principle. What I'm saying is that the symbols will change. Whether we always go around talking about sun, moon, and stars, as the Bible did, we couldn't anymore. Mrs. Eddy saw that. How can you talk about science to a scientific age talking about sun, moon, and stars? So she gave the symbol principle to mean systematic government. And the world now talks about the science of structure or cybernetics. It's all in the tone of principle. Our terminology may change even out of the seven synonymous terms. It doesn't matter. It's the idea behind the symbol that is important. So to say that our study is a study of numerology is ridiculous, and it's actually just stated from an ignorant standpoint.